Taflamad Aleph. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Huna Zuti, while they were at Mar Bered Ravina's wedding, they said, why don't you sing a song for us? So Rav Huna Zuti said, well, you know, we shouldn't be all so happy. So he said, woe to us who are all going to die. And the Rabbanan said, all right, we get the idea. We shouldn't be so happy. The Mashiach, I mean, the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. But, you know, we can't add anything worse to that. You've already said the worst thing. Rav Huna Zuti said, that's not true. We could say, where's our mitzvahs and Torah that's supposed to be protecting us from this gullus and from the gzeras from Shemayim? You know, clearly, we're not doing so well. Fine. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that you can't fill your mouth with laughter in this world until the Goyim will all proclaim Hashem's greatness at Yimos HaMashiach. Once Reish Lakish heard this halacha, then he decided that he wasn't going to fill his mouth with laughter for the rest of his life. There's a braisa that says that you shouldn't go into Shmona Esrei after you have judged a lawsuit or you've learned a tough halacha, because those are going to, you know, take up your mind space a little bit. Rather, you should go into davening Shmona Esrei after the piece of learning an easy halacha. And we brought in what some examples of these easy halachos. Abaye quotes Reb Zera's halacha that women nowadays accepted that even for a tiny drop of blood, they would stay as a nida for 7 days, which is not the din from the Torah. That's what the women accepted upon themselves. Rava says, the Rav Hoshea says that you can be crafty with your miser, meaning you can bring in your grain into your house while it's still in the shaft and not totally ready, and then it's only fit for animals to eat, not fit for humans to eat, so you wouldn't have to take miser off of that. And another opinion is Rav Zera's, that if you let blood from an animal that is kadosh, that's sanctified, then you can't get any hana from that blood, and the rules of me'ila, misappropriating that blood, apply. The Rabbanan held like the Mishnah that they would daven the Kovid Rosh with reverence, and Rav Ashi held like the Braisa that you should learn an easy halacha before davening. He said that you shouldn't daven out of sorrow, after coming out of sorrow, laziness, laughter, ridiculing talk, lightheadedness, idle words. Rather, you should only daven out of the simcha for the mitzvah. And you shouldn't also leave your friend out of chatter, lightheadedness, laughter, or idle talk, only out of halacha, because that leaves on a high note, just like the Nevi'im, who after their chastising prophecies would always end on a happy note. Merei de Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba said that you should leave your friend on a matter of halacha, and that way he will remember you. Like the story of Rav Ashi, who was escorting Rav Shimi Bar Ashi out, and they were talking halacha, because Rav Ashi said, is it true that all the palm trees in Bavel have existed from the times of Adam HaRishon? Rav Shimi Bar Ashi says, oh, you remind me of the halacha from Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, who says that any place that Adam said in the world would be settled was settled, and any place that wouldn't, he decided would not be settled, was not settled. Mordechai escorted Rav Shimi Bar Ashi out, and there was no halachic discussion recorded, which is there to teach us that it's okay not to leave on halacha. If the opportunity presents itself, you should engage in a halachic discourse, but if not, it's not a big deal. Fine, you have to daven with kavana to Hashem. Rabbi Huda says that Rabbi Akiva would daven quickly when he was with the tzibor, so it wouldn't be a tircha, a burden to the tzibor. But when he was alone, he would daven with a lot of kavana. He would start in one corner and he would end up on the totally opposite side of the room because of all his bowing. Rabbi Chia Bar Ava says that you should daven in a house with windows so that if you need to, you can look up to Shemayim and strengthen your kavana. So you might think that you can daven all day long, but we know from Daniel that it says Vizimna Tlasa, you should daven three times. So maybe that was only something he started doing once he was in Gullus, once he was in exile, he had to daven for the end of exile. But the Pasuk teaches that he always was davening three times a day. And then we have a bunch of psukim which teach a number of different things, that you are not able to daven in any direction you want, only in the direction facing Yerushalayim, that you can't say all three tefillos of the day at once, rather Erev, Voker, and Tzaraim, that they have their own three specific times, morning, night, and afternoon, that you can't make your voice heard, that you should praise Hashem first, and then you should make requests, that you can't say any tefillos after you have finished Vyatsiv, you can't say any personal tefillos, but after you finish Shemona Esrei, you can say as many as you want. Rav says that you can daven for all your needs in Shema Kolenu, and once you finish Shemona Esrei, again, you can daven as much as you want, make as many requests as you want. Rav Amnuna says that we learned many, many, many halachos from Chana's tefillah when she was davening for her son and her encounter with Eli. So just to list them off, that you need kavana, you need to have kavana to Hashem, that you have to pronounce the words, you have to move your lips when you are davening, that you can't raise your voice, that a drunk person can't pray. Rabbi Lezer says that if you observe in your friend something bad, then you have to reprove them, which he learns from the story. Still going from things that we have seen from Chana and her encounter with Eli, Ula says that Chana said to Eli that clearly you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, otherwise you would never have falsely accused me of davening drunk. And those that say that Chana was a little bit more respectful, she says, She said, don't you have Ruach HaKodesh that you shouldn't have falsely accused me? Like, you know I'm really depressed and I'm really sad. Rabbi Elazar says that if you are suspected and falsely accused of something, you have to inform that person that you're really innocent. Rabbi Elazar says that if you are davening drunk, someone that davens drunk is the same as worshiping Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Elazar says that if you falsely accuse someone, you have to appease them and give them a bracha. Rabbi Elazar says that Chana was the first to call Hashem Tzivakos, and she was saying, you created so many, many, many legions, and you can't give me one son? Is it so hard for you? You master the world, you created everything to give me one son? And we bring it down the mashal that it's like a poor person who goes to this king who made this giant feast, and he says, King, you've made this giant feast. Is it so hard for you to just give me one piece of bread? Rabbi Elazar says that Chana said, Hashem, give me a son, or I'm going to make myself into this falsely accused sota and make people witness me going into a room alone with another man while I'm married, and then I'm going to have to go and drink the sota water. And we know that the Torah says that if you were falsely accused of being a sota, then you will, after you drink the water, instead of it making you explode, you're going to have a son, and Hashem, you're going to have to follow your Torah and give me the bracha to have children. So we said that this makes sense according to the opinion that says someone who was falsely accused of being a sota and drinks the water, if they're barren, they will then become pregnant. But there's another opinion that says that no, it's not barren to pregnant. It's that if you had hard pregnancies, you'll have easy pregnancies. If you had girls, you'll have boys. If you had short kids, you'll have tall kids. If you had unattractive kids, you'll have attractive kids. And Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that you go from being barren to pregnant. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that your kids go from, you know, your pregnancies and your kids go from bad to being good. Otherwise, the problem with saying that all barren women can become pregnant is then all barren women are just going to do this to force Hashem to give them kids. So how would that opinion understand the pasuk that we brought down to say that Chana was threatening Hashem with having herself be falsely accused of being a sota? Because they would understand that pasuk as just saying the Torah is just speaking in the way of humans. There's nothing, the way that people speak, there's nothing to learn from here about sota. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says that Chana said maidservant Amma, she used the word Amma three times to make reference to the three sins that women can die from by not being careful about them, Nida, Chala, and Neros. And she said, I've never messed up with any of those. So Chana says Zera Anoshim, offspring that's a man. So what does that mean? That's a little bit of a weird way to say it when she was requesting a child. So Rav says that she asked for a unique man. Shmuel says someone that would anoint two kings, Shaul and David. Rabbi Yochanan says someone that would be equal to two men, Moshe and Aaron. Can we say Moshe and Aaron b'cho anav, u'Shmuel b'korei Shemo? Clearly equating Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel. The Rabbanan said no, someone that's absorbed by men, this normal person. Someone, Rav Dimi explains that he's not too tall, not too short, he's not too thin or too stocky, he's not too smart, too foolish. And actually, Chana did get this wish that she just had an average person because she didn't want the Ayin Hara to be on Shmuel if he was this great Talmud Chacham, this great whatever, anything. She didn't want the Ayin Hara to be on him. And this actually goes to show us that, you know, we can, even someone who is born pretty normal, you know, we never know what we can reach in life and what we can achieve in life. Clearly, our potential is all endless. Even by Shmuel, who was born this totally average person, he was unique among men. I mean, he was absorbed by all men. He was, you know, abnormal. I mean, he was totally normal. Even someone like Shmuel can reach unlimited potential. Fine, so Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that you can't sit within four amos of someone davening. Chana says, for this child did I pray. Why did she say that? For this child did I pray. So Eli was telling a Kohen that you have to go get some Kohen. Eli was telling someone to go get a Kohen to shecht this animal. And Shmuel says, why are you all, you know, going crazy and wasting so much time to try to find a Kohen? Why don't we just have anyone do the shechita? We know that anyone's allowed to do the shechita. It doesn't have to be a Kohen. And Eli said, how do you know that? He quotes in the pasuk that proves it. And Eli said, yeah, you're right, but you decided halacha and you paskined in front of your Rebbe, and we know that anyone that paskins in front of their Rebbe is chayav misa, so you have to be put to death. So Chana cried out and said, no, don't do that. And Eli said, no, don't worry. Let me give him this punishment of misa, and then I'll daven for you to have an even better son. And Chana said, no, for this son did I pray. Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra says that Chana spoke about matters that were upon her heart, that Chana said, nothing in a human being was created extra. So Hashem, why can't you give me a son that I can nurse so that I too can have nothing on my body that is extra? Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra says that if someone fasts on Shabbos, they can annul a bad decree, even if that decree is supposed to be that you should have 70 years of bad. By fasting on Shabbos, which is especially hard, you can annul that decree. But we do know that it's bad to fast on Shabbos. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that what should you do to make up for it? You should actually fast to atone for that previous fast. Rav Elazar says that Chana was very disrespectful to Hashem in her tefillah, where she threatened Hashem that she was going to commit the Sota thing. And Rav Elazar also says that Eliezer also had a disrespectful tefillah to Hashem, that, you know, you shouldn't be so upset at Bnei Yisrael because you created the Eitzahara in them. So anything that's happening is really your fault. But Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak actually says that Hashem later went on to agree with Eliyahu's argument, as we see later on in Nach Shkayach.